the whole pastime with Indra is coming to a climax because it started with Krishna understanding Indra's got pride. And I don't like pride. So let me have a nice pastime with Indra so I can remove his pride. And it's successful. And the two verses we're going to read this morning, he's using this word manina, pride. And we know that word manina from Shikshastaka, right? A-manina. And a-manina is something that's really important for devotees to be able to chant Hare Krishna in such a way that we can have a taste and then keep going beyond taste. But somehow we don't have a taste. So we haven't learned the amanina quality yet sufficiently. Amanina. And so this pastime with Indra is especially pertinent to Hare Krishna chanters. And those of you that like to read Prabhupada's books, you know that this word amanina appears in Bhagavad Gita, right? Where does it appear? It appears in chapter 13, text 8 through 12, where the items of knowledge are identified, because Arjuna wants to know what's knowledge. And there's a manina, right at the front end of the whole list. So let's hear what Prabhupada says about a manina. And so this is knowledge. And what causes material existence? What causes suffering, which is part of material, you know, the essence of material existence? It's ignorance. And ignorance, the root of ignorance is ignoring Krishna. And bhakti is to change that, to you, we're not ignoring Krishna, we're connected with Krishna. But it's like, it takes time because we have these unwanted things inside. You know, what the verse we're going to read shortly is the earlier verse in this chapter, 27, Indra's prayers to Krishna, where he explains how this bad quality and other bad qualities bind us to material existence. It's just a dimension of ignorance. So supposing somebody's envious, it's really easy to understand. If they're envious of the person, what is it they're envious about? Somebody else has something they wish they had, so they're envious of the other person. So what's behind that other person's something that somebody has? It's Krishna. It's envy of Krishna. Envy of another person is envy of Krishna. So we can try to become free from envy of another person, but if you're envious of Krishna, it's not going to last. Or pride. So what's pride? We're going to read about what pride and pridelessness is from Bhagavad Gita, and then we're going to go to another place. So humility is the starting point, actually. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. No. Humility and pridelessness, they're like brother and sister or two peas in a pod. If you're not humble, you're going to be proud. And if you're humble, you're not going to be proud. It has something to do with I in mind. Who are you anyway? If you're insignificant, you're insignificant. But if you're not thinking yourself insignificant, you're thinking, I'm significant. And the significant people want to be honored by others. And if they don't get honored by others, they get grumpy or they feel something, a negative emotion. You know, one of those negative emotions that keep you bound to material existence. Not just like an unpleasant ride. It binds you to material existence. It keeps the whole samsara going, the bondage to birth and death, those inappropriate negative emotions. Inappropriate means connected to a bodily conception. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others, but from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, dash, who knows he's not this body, dash, anything, honor or dishonor pertaining to this body is useless. We should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion. And consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. So Krishna tests us too. That is, you ever get tested? And behind the test is not just the instrument that's testing you, the person that said something nasty or some health issue or some misfortune or coronavirus or, you know, something. But what's behind that something, that misfortune? Here's the earlier, we'll get to this morning's verse shortly. But here's text 5, canto 10, chapter 27, text 5. Reads, translation, how then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person? Emphasis, ignorance. An ignorant person has these negative characteristics, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy. Doesn't list pride, but that's in the list too. Symptoms of ignorance, which are produced by one's previous involvement with material existence and which cause one to become further entangled in material existence. These qualities, if not eliminated, they'll be bondage. And with bondage, with suffering, with ignorance or suffering, with suffering, it leads to another material body and, you know, we struggle and struggle and struggle endlessly. So it's a fascinating purport. Read it about 15 times and it gets a little clearer as you read it. It's a little complicated. But, you know, there's a cause and effect relationship between bad qualities. Specifically, we're speaking about pride here and pridelessness. And it's a cause of bondage. It's a symptom of ignorance. It's a symptom of ignoring Krishna. And it's a symptom of ignorance. So Indra, and we, not like pointing the finger at Indra, we also don't have full Krishna consciousness. We're, you know, not as elevated as Indra, but we're like Indra, mixed in consciousness, mixed devotees. There's this and there's that. There's devotion, for sure. And there's mixed, for sure. And so until the mix gets unmixed, guess what? Bondage. And not only suffering, but repeated birth and death until we become Vishuddha Sattva. So Indra, and Krishna wants Indra to get over it. So he arranges this nice pastime to help him get over it. That symptom of ignorance. He's a devotee. He's an elevated devotee. But some, you know, and enough ignorance that look what he did. Gosh. And because of pride, he was not just challenging Krishna, he was ready to kill. Why? Pride. So he's going to speak on this morning's verses, why he did what he did. And it's like he's confessing. It's purifying. Now, confessing doesn't mean he won't do it again. That's a prayaschitta principle. Prabhupada speaks about this. Some persons, I wasn't, but some persons are raised in the Catholic Church. And I had some friends that were raised in the Catholic Church. And it's something they did every Saturday morning. They go to the church. And you go to a special place over there. I've never been inside, but, you know, a confession booth. And the priest sits in the confession booth. And people come in and confess their sins. It's like a procedure. A Catholic procedure. You confess your sins. And then what the priest says is something along these lines. So many Hail Marys. And put some money in the hundi box. And that the Catholic Church was doing that, the Protestants revolted because they called it, the Protestant Revolution was based upon that. They called it selling indulgences. Indulgence means you licentiously engage your senses in something that's sinful. You go to the church and you pay some money and your indulgences are now cleansed. So the mentality of the priest was, this is a good program. Everybody's sinful. And the people that get part of the Catholic Church, we can run our church really nicely. Just sell indulgences. So the Protestant Reformation had that outcry. They were Catholic priests. And they saw what was going on and they went, we're out of here. We're gonna not do that. We're going to follow what Christ said and not just sell indulgences. So so what's the solution if you're a Protestant? Christ died for your sins. So there was a book, Prabhupada, I didn't read the book, but, you know, Sin Boldly. Why? Christ died for your sins. Hands clean. Get your hands dirty again. Christ died for your sins. This is sinning on the strength of chanting for us. It's most hideous, heinous. Anyway. How to get free, not just from the sin and the reaction to the sin, but how to get free from bad qualities. Because we read already, Indra did it again. Pride wasn't completely gone. He's talking like pride is gone. Pride isn't obviously completely gone. Because why? The modes of nature. Some time passed. He was deeply repentant. But the modes of nature were still rooted. And because of the modes of nature, the symptoms again appeared and he did some prideful things again. So how do you get rid of pride? Is it important to get rid of pride? Is it important to get rid of these negative qualities? Yes. And we need mercy from Krishna to do that. It's not just this mechanical or that mechanical form. It's not even just chanting. Yes, chanting, but chanting in a quality way. So now let's go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is writing commentary on Shikshastika 3. Everybody knows Shikshastika 3. You know Shikshastika 3? Say it.
I'll know it once you
say it. Sadahari. So I'm going to read Bhaktivinoda Thakur explaining the terms or the words in the verse. and it's right on topic. In the beginning, he says that this teaching of Lord Chaitanya is to help us go beyond Namaparada and Namabhas. We're familiar with the Namabhas type. That's where we are. And this is to help us get beyond, because this type of chanting can take us into the realm of reality and out of the realm of illusion and bondage. So, freedom from false prestige. The word amanina describes the third quality of the devotee who chants offenselessly, dash, a spotless heart, free from false ego and false prestige. So false ego is a misconception of who you are, and false prestige is the pride of that false conception of self. It's, there's certainly overlap, but they're not identical. You can have, anyway, it's a specific component of material bondage, is pride, false prestige. All gross and subtle bodily designations are derived from the mode of ignorance. Yogic mystic powers, material opulence, natural beauty, high birth, strength, social status, influence, and other over others, etc., are but a function of false ego and are incompatible with real spiritual identity. To completely reject these false designations is to have a spotless heart, devoid of mundane ego and false prestige. He who, in spite of having every reason to be proud, demonstrates tolerance, humility, and a spotless heart, is a fit candidate to chant purely. A devotee of Krishna, whether he is a brahmana living in the house, must subdue the pride of being a brahmana. And if he is living a renounced life in the forest, he must conquer the supercilious attitude. It's like, you know, repugnant, like, you know, smelly attitude. Careful to avoid becoming proud of becoming a brahmana, of becoming a renunciate. He should simply concentrate on the lotus feet of Krishna and chant his holy name. Going down. How to avoid Nam Aparad and Namabhas. Bhaktivinoda writes, this sloka was spoken for the sole purpose of focusing on how to avoid Nam Aparad and Namabhas in chanting. One whose intelligence shies away from Krishna and rushes instead towards the intoxicants of material enjoyment can never perceive his true infinitesimal stature, that's the humility part, by nature. One who tries to be an enjoyer does not realize the reality of his insignificance, nor can he be tolerant. So, humility and tolerance. He is not at all inclined to give up his false ego and false prestige. A gross materialist is unwilling, even incapable, of acknowledging anyone as an equal. The Vaishnava, who experiences ecstasy in the Lord, is unwilling, even incapable, of acknowledging anyone as equal. The Vaishnava who experiences ecstasy in the Lord's name, on the other hand, is humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree, and is unconcerned, even unwilling to receive respect, but is eager to offer respect to others. Such an elevated soul alone is worthy of chanting constantly. When these pure souls offer their praise and worship to the Guru and senior Vaishnavas, they do so out of manada. And when they give advice to disciples and sadhakas to chant, they encourage them with words of appreciation. In this case, their innate quality of amanina, desiring no respect or praise in return. One more paragraph. The glories of humility. A pure devotee understands that these words of praise and appreciation are not empty mundane vauntings, but acknowledgement of spiritual qualities. And if the foolish misinterpret this as mundane, then he tolerates these railings, thus exhibiting deep forbearance. This is his nature. The unalloyed Vaishnava who chants offenselessly considers himself to be lower than straw in the street that is trampled by walking masses. A true saint never thinks himself to be a Vaishnava or claims to be a guru. He regards himself humbly as a disciple of the whole world and as the most meek and fallen soul, knowing every atom and the infinitesimal spirit soul as the residence of Lord Krishna. He never mistreats anyone as his inferior. He is not wanting anything, nor does he require anything from anyone. Listen to this. Even if others are envious or spiteful of him, he never retaliates. On the contrary, he prays for the well-being of his tormentors. So it goes on. So this is specific to the amanina topic. And what we're not liberationists. Liberationists in the sense that let me get out of this bondage. You know, this place is filled with suffering. Let me out of here. We're not liberationists. So to become free is the secret. But here's the secret. To become free from pride, it's not just I want to get free from pride. It doesn't work. I want to get free from anger. It doesn't work. You know, I mean, one can do anger management, but behind the anger is the modes of nature, and the modes of nature don't go away. And then the feelings, the negative feelings mentioned in the verse we just read, text 5, they don't go away. Their root is there, and after some time, voila, there they are again. You know, the bungee cord. You know what a bungee cord is, right? It has two hooks and kind of elastic, and you hook it around something so you can keep it intact. But you unhook the hook and back again. So trying to become elevated is like a bungee cord. Without shelter in Krishna, you can How do you cut that bungee cord? How do you cut that repeated cycle? It's the modes of nature. How do you get free from the modes of nature? How do you get free from bondage? But it's not just liberation. It's that kind of liberation, according to the Bhagavatam, Arunya Krishchena Parampadam Tada. Why? Because avishuddha buddhaya, one's intelligence is not yet purified. Intelligence is one of the places where lust sits. So how do you get intelligence where lust isn't there anymore? The modes of nature are gone. It's by Krishna's mercy. So we go through ordeals. We don't need to elaborate on that. We know what ordeals are. And there's different ones. And it hurts. Because it's an ordeal, and we want the ordeal to be over, please. But it's not just For the devotee, it's different. For Indra, it's different. And for us, it's different. Because it's an arrangement by Krishna to help us become free from unwanted qualities. So last thing before we go to the verses and the commentaries. The Bhaktivinoda, another teaching of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the occasional pastimes. There's Nityalila, eternal pastimes. Like Krishna herding the cows with the cowherd boys. In his interaction with the cows and the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and dancing with the gopis and all of his wonderful activities. Those are Nityalila. And then there's occasional pastimes. That's the English translation of nimitta, naimittika, lila. And the naimittika lilas in Vrindavan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, are especially for the benefit of us. I mean, in this case, it's Indra, but it's also us. That is, there's potencies within the pastime to help us become free from obstacles on the path of reaching Vraja Prema. Just by hearing, you know, we're dull. So we're not hearing from the heart. We're hearing, but we're, you know, so there's potency there just by hearing. But when one is, as one becomes purified, then that potency goes deeper and one feels freed from this unwanted obstacle. In this case, it's pride. So hearing it again and again, if you want to become free from pride, it's a good pastime to listen to and hear regularly. So here's the, we're covering texts 12 and 13. And in text 12, the word manina is there in the last line. Manina, which word for word is translated by as by me who was falsely proud. And then pride resulted in anger. Tivra. Manyuna. Fierce anger. Right? Passion triggers anger. We know that from Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so my dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus I tried to destroy your cowherd community, those loved by Krishna. Huh. With severe rain and wind. And Indra's fearing that Krishna may speak like this. This is Vishwanath's commentary. Oh, Indra, you're my devotee. That I can understand from your recitation of praise. But without your permission, your wicked clouds attacked my braja, therefore you should punish them. Fearing such an innocent scolding from Krishna, Indra considered, alas, I cannot be duplicitous with the super soul who knows everything. Therefore, he decided to admit that everything was his fault in this verse. Krishna, but how is it possible for my devotee to do this? Krishna, or Indra, when my worship was stopped, I became angry. Krishna, though I, your master, stop your worship. I cannot believe that my servant would do such a thing. Indra, what is not possible out of pride? Manina. Krishna, though pride may somehow arise in my devotee, He removed that with intelligence, Indra. But intense anger, Tivra, Mayuna, destroys even intelligence. Yes? Jiva Goswami, quote, "The great mercy you have shown to such an offender is very special. I personally have performed this act right now. It is most despicable to try to destroy Vraja. I did this out of pride and intense anger. Oh, omniscient Lord Bhagavan, you know my wicked nature. What more can be said about my pride? Oh Lord, though you, full of powers, Bhagavan, were present, I attempted to destroy Vraja. This shows the serious nature of my offense." And reference to this verse is found in Gopal Champu. That's a Jiva Goswami text where he goes through Krishna's pastimes in a different way than verse by verse and line by line. So he writes, "Krishna's power and affection influenced Indra. Acting like the moon on others, Krishna acted like the sun on Indra. Indra acted like the sun on others, but acted like a firefly in front of Krishna. When Indra was silent, Krishna remained mute. When Indra began praising him, Krishna became eloquent. No one can describe how Indra spoke when praising Krishna. Oh, Nanda, controlling himself, Krishna is becoming shy in front of you." Then continuing, "Not noticing his disregard, Indra then concluded this verse, 'My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind.' Smiling, Krishna spoke, 'My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. Then, remembering me, you should not surpass the best devotees like my father. If the devatas become proud of their opulence, the brahmanas will become proud of eating fish. Oh, Indra, I will uproot your enemies. Why do you fear me? Please act properly.'" Gopal Champu. How sweet, huh? But in his, Krishna's instructing Indra, there's some key. Remembering me, because that's the essence of all do's and don'ts. Remember Krishna. Then here's the don't. Do not try to surpass the best devotees, like my father. Now he's not speaking about himself. He's speaking about Nanda Maharaj, out of his affection for Nanda Maharaj, and that's Krishna's nature. So here comes text 13, and then we'll end for discussion. "O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my pride and defeating my attempt to punish the Vrijavasis. To you, the Supreme Lord, Spiritual Master and Supreme Soul, I have now come for shelter." Vishwanath writes, paraphrasing Indra, "Though I have caused great disturbance to Vraja, I've received mercy from you, like a sick person getting diagnosed by a doctor. Thus, I am now cured of the disease." Almost. "Having given up the urge to release my lightning bolts, because you control everything, you are the Lord, because you create benefit for all, you are Guru, because you are the object of love, your Atma." And the last commentary, Jiva Goswami. "O Supreme Controller, Isha, because you are the regulator of all beings. Though you could have very well punished me, you have been very merciful to me. This is not superficial mercy. That mercy has destroyed my pride, since now I have lost all eagerness to disturb you. My pride has completely disappeared since you have destroyed it, and the desire for such acts has also disappeared. Got it? That's important. When, going back to that text 5, when emotions, feelings that arise from ignorance and the modes of nature are prevalent, then those feelings drive behaviors, and behaviors helps develop a body, and we get a body, and it helps drive behaviors in the modes of nature. Because with the body, we heard that commentary for text 5, synonymous with receiving a body is the influence of the modes of nature. So when it speaks of the modes, it means the body. When it speaks of the body, it means the modes. When it speaks of prakriti, it's the modes of nature, prakriti. We're implicated by these emotions that are base, and we just perpetuates our sojourn in material existence. We can curb it for some time by different methods, and like, you know, by intelligence, but intelligence isn't enough. The whole machinery of the material energy keeps moving. After some time moves, prompts the modes of nature and our past impressions, and there we go again. It's not just Indra there, he goes again, you know, there we go again, in the cycle of foolishness. This great offender surrenders to you, since you are the guru. Two other reasons for surrender are mentioned. You are the controller, Ishvaram, and you are the root of all beings, Atmanam, like the sun in relation to its rays. Thus, for three reasons, I surrender unto you. So those are his two prayers, 12 and 13. And it's 16 minutes after 8. Let's see if there's some discussion. I did it reverse, since I usually you speak after you read the verse. I read, spoken, then read the verse. But it's just got inspired to speak that way. Discussion. Go ahead.
Krishna? Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. It's very powerful verses, I think, like, so powerful, like, Shukshashtaka verse, like, that we cannot chant.
Yes.
Without, I was thinking about this verse, like, a while ago, and, I was thinking, like, it's so important to be humble. At the same time, sometimes, people, devotees, mistaken humility, and they feel low about themselves also.
Yes, different.
Different. And then it's harder to chant when you don't, like, respect yourself.
Yeah, that's not what real humility is.
And, like, I was thinking that actually, like, who you are, it's not you, it's like Krishna. And then so much was put into who you are, like,
yes,
your ancestors, your parents, your teachers. So, like, if you look at all that and respect,
if you
always, like, realize it and understand that you, it's not just you, it's Krishna, it's all what came to make you who you are, respecting all that, then you don't, like, respect yourself, you respect all the background of what brought you where you are. Even if you have a position, it's not yours, it's Krishna's and teachers and, like, ancestors. I just got this, like,
inspiration.
Inspiration, yeah. Now, maybe you can elaborate on that. Thompson.
Humility is a self-conception. It's not just a behavior. A little sharing. I think I mentioned this already. There's a teenager somewhere, and they have an assignment from their religion class. But, you know, it doesn't cover Hinduism. It's Buddhism, Muslim, and Christianity. So they picked a passage from the book of Matthew, from the New Testament of the Bible, and it gives Christ's teaching about this topic. You know, kind of like Mother Teresa kind of message. And in that passage, it speaks of sometimes that you have heard it said that there's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So we refer to that. That's an explanation of karma. But then, so karma is moving. It does go on like that. But then how do we respond when somebody does an injustice to us? We're not like, you're going to get yours, buddy. That's not, you know, satisfaction, and they're going to get theirs. But there's this wishing to be in service, basic idea. But, in that same section, that if someone slaps you in the cheek, you turn the other cheek. And that's, that's not what the Bhagavad teaching is. You may do that. You may not do that, depending upon what's appropriate for the circumstance. But the emphasis is not, this is what I said to the teenager, the emphasis is not upon the spiritual conception of self. It's about behaviors, and don't get in reactive mode. But, be in this humble, turn the other cheek mode. Don't be the instrument of retaliation and so forth and so on. So, without the spiritual conception, it's incomplete. Or, say it converse. The purpose of good behavior, or checking bad behavior, is to get us closer to spiritual conception. But it's insufficient if you don't come to spiritual conception. And how you get to the spiritual conception? By conception of God, of who God is. And if you don't have a proper conception of who God is, you can't have a proper conception for yourself, and you're not going to have good conduct. Even if you have, nice ideas. In one of those documentaries of Prabhupada, there's an interview with Nathji, who is an industrialist business person, and he describes meeting Prabhupada, and he says very bluntly, a businessman is always looking to see where's the weakness of the other party. You got to be a good businessman. You got to do that. So he tested Prabhupada and saw there's no weakness. There's no pride. There's no greed. There's no this. I never met anybody like that. And he was really good at business. So, what's Krishna is examining us and also giving us opportunity to become free from those things and, true to the spiritual conception. The ride can be uncomfortable getting there. But Krishna's kind and he'll help us get there, comfortable or uncomfortable. Depends on how willing we are to become pure. Doesn't have to be uncomfortable, but it may be uncomfortable. But Krishna's kindness doesn't change. And so humility is not just turn the other cheek or not retaliate when you're insulted or treated harshly or something. And not just carry the feeling, but it's go to the spiritual conception. You in service to Krishna, because that's what, how are you going to realize who you are? Through the medium of service. How are you going to realize who Krishna is? Through the medium of service. And if you don't have that mood of service, you're not going to do either. That's what real humility is. Who are you? How insignificant are you? That's humility. And then what's pride? Well, it's connected to humility, but pride is, look at my stuff. mine, and some feelings about my stuff. Mine, it can be, you know, gross, like possessions, or it can be intelligence. It's certainly a prominent feature of intellectual people is they're proud. I mean, everybody knows it. So supposing you have intelligence, how are you going to be intelligent and not be proud? Because connected to humility is, you know, you're insignificant. Insignificant, not just small, insignificant. And then pride's gone. So but it's not just the material idea of insignificant. It's the spiritual idea of insignificant. That's humility and pridelessness. Then, you know, not eager for praise from others. Manina, manadena. It goes with the spiritual conception. And then the connection with Krishna through the medium of purification, devotional service, starting with chanting. So anything else? It's 8:25. Yes. Back.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So my premise is Krishna wants you more than wants
Put the microphone a little closer. Krishna wants what?
Krishna wants you more than what you can desire.
Good.
I was talking to one devotee and they were struggling with like forgiveness and like past impressions keep coming and it's very hard to forgive. And those moods come and then they repent and they are praying so much that please give me humility, please give me strength to forgive and not remember negative things. So I was just wondering that what are they lacking where, because Krishna wants them to come to them and they are also wanting the same.
Well, it's wanting and also holding on. That's the problem. They're still holding on. Their mind goes back to the, you know, the hurt feeling and the bad words that were said or whatever it was. It's wanting and not wanting. We're mixed. That's the problem. So what do you do when you're mixed? You go towards Krishna. You go towards the light and darkness is dissipated. That's what you do. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep wanting. And purification may be gradual. Our attachment to the temporary, attachment to being in the enjoyer mood. So service mood is the antidote. Okay, is that it? Okay. Pass the microphone.
Guru Maharaj, I had a thought and a question. I was always used to think like, how can Indra do this kind of stuff? Even though one has pride, it may not be like playing with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Vraja. Today after hearing, I'm thinking that when in family, if I get angry at my family, it's also the same thing. It's
smaller version
of it. So Indra had the bigger version, but I am also doing the smaller version of it, mm-hmm. not knowing. So mm-hmm. that is my realization.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second, the question is,
it's all about our relationship with Krishna. That's what it's all about. Go ahead.
Okay. Maharaj, when we take up the sadhana, spiritual practice, there are certain previous attachments, previous enjoyments that just go away. But there are certain that stay.
And that's because we're hanging on to them.
So there is, can I say like this, there is less power to let them go, even though we think of it. So is it something that we have to alter the practice more sincere, more serious, intensity has to increase?
Well, it's both. It's effort and mercy. and be patient, knowing that the process is purifying. It may take some time for me to let go. It may take some time for Krishna's mercy to be bestowed in this wonderful way. So we persevere. And the perseverance is needed. Over time, perseverance is needed because we're deeply attached. So we strive further and we depend on mercy further. And just be patient to that passage of time. Jiva Goswami discusses this point in Bhakti Sandarbha and says, I'm using different language than he uses, but it's because of anarthas in the heart that are very, very difficult to get over. Very, very difficult. It's in stuff inside, like these things that are mentioned here in this text 5. Due to past offenses, they have a lot of anarthas in the heart, and they don't go away quickly. They're very stubborn. No, that's the reason. And what to do, you just keep with faith.
Online questions.
Okay.
Question from Srinivas Prabhu. The bad experiences always create some impressions in the consciousness. Though one may be correct in behavior, but how to get out of that attachment to the impressions?
Well, that's her question. It's the same as her question. Go ahead.
Okay. In connection of, from Mohan Leela Prabhu. In connection of selling indulgences, you mentioned that committing sins on the strength of chanting the holy name is similar to that.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. It's kind of turning a light bulb in me. My question, for someone that is struggling to do attentive chanting and also struggling to control the senses, the hope seems to come from the pastime of Ajamil. Then in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada says it's important to control the senses and not commit sins on strength of chanting the holy name. It seems to be interrelated. What is the hope for someone that is struggling with both attentive chanting and also struggling to control the senses?
Krishna's mercy. That's our hope. It's hope against hope. Ashabandha, Nectar Devotion. You can go read that Ashabandha section from Nectar Devotion. Okay.
Okay, question from Vishalaksha Prabhu. What it means to be spotless heart with pridelessness? What are the steps should I take to act internally towards that pure heart to please Guru Maharaj?
It's Amara's question once again. And your question also.
This is from Jyotirmay Mataji from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
When I am doing some service, I am trying to do in a serving mood. When I get some appreciation for my service, sometimes I feel more encouraged and wanted to do more service. At times I feel I am doing only because I was appreciated, or am I doing the service. Kindly clarify, or am I doing as a service? Kindly clarify this confusion.
Well, here's a test. Supposing you do some service and you don't get some appreciation. Then what happens? Was the service done in the mood of service, or was the service done in the mood of I want? You know, we're conditioned souls and so we may want. And so that's a test. When it's that's the test of, let's say, you know, difficulty. Is your enthusiasm the same when there's difficulty and as when there's no difficulty? Or more, it's like you're getting recognition or some position or something. Is your mood and enthusiasm for service the same or not? That's how you can tell.
Question from Sri Radhika Mataji. It seems that since we don't even know who we are, material conditioning habituates us to a life of duplicity. Once we start to attempt to act in our relationship with Krishna, we become aware of how our insecurities in our relationship with Krishna impel us, almost without our will, to be duplicitous.
Yeah.
How to catch ourselves more in the moment?
What was the last line? How to do what?
How to catch ourselves more in the moment?
How to task ourselves?
Catch.
How test.
Catch.
T-E-S-T.
Catch. Catch. C-A-T-C-H. Catch.
Chat ourselves?
Catch.
Catch.
Catch
a ball.
Catch. Catch. Oh, okay. Okay.
How to catch ourselves more in the moment?
More in the moment. Practice. Recognizing we're going to slip. And recognizing we're duplicitous. Not only are we going to deceive other people, we're going to deceive ourselves. Hey, I'm doing great. You know, before one becomes a devotee, we don't realize all the stuff that's inside. You become a devotee and like, gosh, look at all that stuff inside. And, you know, keep going. So, to catch yourself takes sustained effort over time, same as these other questions, because there is this tendency of duplicity. Jiva Goswami speaks about it in Bhakti Sandarbha. It's the first sign of anartha, is duplicity. Deceiving others and deceiving ourselves. And it's, you know, and then it goes further. It goes deeper and darker. But that's according to his teaching, that's a first sign of anarthas. And anarthas don't go away so easily. So her question is how to catch yourself when you're doing the anartha program. It's your question. Effort, depending upon Krishna over a period of time. Be willing to be honest with yourself. And then it's really good if you can be honest with, certainly with Supersoul, because he already knows, just like Indra is saying in his prayer, you're Supersoul, you already know, so I it's no harm, there's no benefit in deceiving you. Let me be honest. This is why I did what I did. And I'm seeking your recognition of my tendencies. And forgive me, help me remove. He's saying I've already gone past it. He hasn't gone past it. You know, for the moment he's gone past it. He got humiliated, which is good for him. And it's good for us. But it doesn't take away the tendency. Bhakti can take away the tendency. That bhakti means service. In the mood of applying to please Krishna, always. That's where our attention goes. As much as your attention can go there, you can overcome, this inability to catch yourself. You catch yourself all the time. Same tendency. Okay.
Question from Gopinath. Were Brahmanas eating fish?
No. But, Brahmanas don't do such things, but so-called Brahmanas may do such things. They may do some other things, too, besides eating fish. So-called Brahmanas.
And question from Radha, Atulya Mataji.
Mm-hmm.
It's a follow-up question from yesterday. Yesterday you said to say yes to Krishna. What does saying yes mean? Does it mean to act and execute devotional service, or say a prayer that please empower me to go back to Godhead, and I say yes?
And more. It's not just say, do, it's the mood of wanting to please Krishna, and when you do. That's to say yes to Krishna. That's what it means.
Another question from Radha. I have trouble putting focus and liking my studies. How do I help myself?
Well, recognizing that shortcoming is a really good beginning. You're part of the way down the road just by recognizing. And then, you know, when there's some weakness, this is one weakness, there may be other ones in, you know, in each of us. So when you recognize there's some weakness, then apply strength in those areas that there isn't weakness, borrow some strength from those areas and do something in the area where there apply some strength in those areas where there's weakness. So like, there are things that you like to do. You like to read Ramayana. She likes to read Ramayana. So you know, read Ramayana and you can feel some strength and you ask for Super Soul's permission or Lord Ram's permission or Valmiki's permission or the Vaishnava's permission. I'm weak over in this area. Please help me. Let me take some strength from this strong area and apply it over here. Because, and for the pleasure of Krishna. Then you've got the right formula.
This is the last one. It's not a question, it's just appreciation. From Ramesh Prabhu and Shankari Mataji from Toronto. All our sincere gratitude and appreciation for giving us this association. This experience is something unique compared to other visits. In your presence, COVID situation changed as a blessed situation for all of us.
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.